Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hello, Where Brains Meet Beauty listeners, and hello to Eleni, our VP Client Success at Base Beauty.
Hi, Jodi. Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
Before we get started today, I want to talk about something that made November so special. Our team hosted a creative department celebration dinner for our client, Kirsten Coffey of Miss Korea. And it was such a lovely evening, and it reminded me how important it is to celebrate our clients and the partnerships in our network and build together.
It was such a fun evening. I was also in attendance, and the dinner captured every value that we live by at Base Beauty. Creativity showed up in the way that we were talking about the ideas and the work that we brought to life with Kristen so far. Openness and kindness in every conversation as we expanded our networks together. Respect and empathy in how we talked about the work and the process, and pride in our craft. So thinking about some of the seasonal content that we made with Ms. Korea, we started with them in January of 2025, and we've had so many really fun projects throughout the course of the year.
Oh, and the setting helped set the mood. We were at Heaven Mar. It was gorgeous. The food was so delicious. I will absolutely order the same things again because it was so good. And then the executive chef stopped by to say hi, which is really cool. And he was like a TV star chef.
Yes, that was really fun. And I don't know who's listening has been to a dinner hosted by Jodi, but she has an amazing thing where we order family style, so you don't have to worry about anything. And it was a lot of fun to taste all the different dishes.
Right. My rule is I don't want our guests to have to really do any thinking. All they have to think about is what drink they want to order. So I pre-order everything for like everyone's taste and allergies and whatnot, so they can just make conversation, make new friends, and have fun.
It was great. We were also expanding our network at this dinner with a new friend, Carlos Timoros, the CEO of Fat Mermaid, and he fit right into the energy of the table. He brought the perfect mix of, curiosity about the work, humor, with a lot of his stories from his past roles and past, living in New York and other places, and made the whole table feel really collaborative and open.
That's what I love so much about the dinner. It isn't separate from the work. It's just a natural extension of it. And celebrating Kirsten, celebrating the Miss Korea team and their work, celebrating what happens when talented people come together with real respect and a shared vision. It was so lovely.
And of course, we did wrap on the earlier side because we actually had a shoot the very next day with another one of the brands Kirsten works on, Gloss Labs, the next morning. So a few of us headed over to that in the next day. We were creating more seasonal content, more storytelling, more beautiful work that will support the brand launch coming soon.
The work goes across earned, owned, and paid. So you'll see it. It will be out there. Okay. So celebrations like this matter. They connect us back to our values, the people we build with every day. And it was a nice reminder of how strong creative partnerships grow when everyone is aligned, committed, and connected. And we are all human beings, so we should act human.
Yeah, I love that. It definitely reminded us to slow down, especially as we were heading into the holiday season, and like acknowledge the work, acknowledge our relationships that we've built with each other through these connections.
So this is actually like a format we're going to continue to pursue all next year. We do such amazing work and have such lovely clients, and we want to celebrate our clients. So we'll be having these celebration dinners to celebrate the teams that come together to make this work so meaningful.
Can't wait.
So let's talk about this episode. This was a lovely moment. We had celebrity esthetician Miranda Sturse and influencer Davia Esther Bunch for a heartfelt talk about their personal journeys, their challenges, and what authenticity means in their work. We really dig into what it means to stay grounded in a world that's constantly online.
Yeah, this was an amazing conversation. We talked about keeping track of your mental health and the power of showing up as your authentic self in these spaces.
This was an honest, inspiring, at times really emotional conversation. And we actually did take a little break during the recording because sometimes you never know when you're going to get emotional, and we wanted to give our guests room for that.
Yeah, and this is not the first time that we have had people, I think, literally move to tears in these conversations on the show, which is what is so special about the space at Where Brains Meet Beauty. Can't wait for everyone to hear more from these two. This is episode 298 with Davia Esther Bunch and Miranda Sturse.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. Today, we'll dive into Estes and influencing with Miranda Sturse, celebrity esthetician, and Davia Esther Bunch, influencer and content creator. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So we're here in New York City. It's a Wednesday, a bit rainy outside. You're our fourth recording of the day. We're doing six today for our theme, Artistry and Influence, Wisdom Behind the Craft. And what I haven't mentioned to the room recently is by the end of the day, we would have recorded our 300th episode.
Wow.
Congratulations. It's such a huge accomplishment.
Yeah. So this is going to be closing our 8th year of the show.
Wow.
Yeah, aww. I'm really excited. Thank you for being a part of it.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
I feel like we're helping make you make history.
Yes, it is. If you stay until 3 p.m., you'll have cake. Because we're going to have a 300th episode cake.
I love that.
So we're going to dive into career journey. We're going to start at the beginning, which is when you're a little kid and you start dreaming about that job. We can start with you, Miranda. You're 10 years old, 11 years old. What was that fantasy job?
I don't know if it was like one of like my fantasy jobs, but like I always loved to massage my family. So random, like a little kid, like massaging. But I always liked to take care of people and the people I loved, of course. Yeah, I remember at 10 years old, my dad would come from work and he worked a very laborious job. So he was a contractor. So he would be exhausted, you know, by after a full day of work. And I would stay up and wait for him, and I would massage his hands, his feet, you know, like I just love to take care of him. My grandfather as well, my mom, everyone, you know, like all my little cousins. That was my thing. Like I just love to take care of people. And that's look, so sweet. I'm doing that now with my clients.
And your sister's in the audience. Mm-hmm. Was she the beneficiary of any of these massages?
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
She missed out?
Maybe just a little bit when we were younger, but now she definitely gets the full benefits.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Davia, what about you? You're 10 years old. What's the dream?
For the longest time, it was to be a professional ballet dancer. Oh. Yeah. So I grew up basically like dancing before I could walk. Mm-hmm. And when everybody was in middle school and high school talking about becoming doctors or therapists or like pro athletes, still my only dream was to dance. And I gave so much to that. I think it taught me a lot about how to tap into my creative side. It gave me my love for storytelling, which I use on a daily basis, not only in my career, but in my content creation as well. And it taught me how to work really hard for something that you wanted. When I was about in middle school, I started pursuing it pretty seriously. In high school, I ended up dancing in Russia at the Bolshoi Ballet Academy. Wow. And it came to a breaking point when I was in college and I injured my back and I realized this is just not the career that I want. And it's really hard being a 23-year-old looking around the room and saying people have had 10 years to figure out their dreams and their career, and I feel like I'm starting at ground zero. And so I think being able to blend in my like passions for creating art and creating storytelling and be able to bring like emotions through a physical being, whether that's dance or content, or now I also work in beauty marketing. I think it was like the perfect dream for me to have to like lead me to where I am now. So very hard dream to give up and a big dream that lasted all throughout my life.
Davia, let's stay on this point because there's actually been so many conversations I've had on this show with people in their youth who are like exceptional at something like this, right? They could have been an exceptional athlete, dancer, gymnast. I think that prepares you for this industry, right? The ambition, number one, the fortitude and the resilience and the like not giving up, right?
Yeah.
But at some point you actually said, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
That goes against probably everything that you trained for. How do you make that decision?
Honestly, I thought that that decision would never come easily for me. It was something that I was so passionate about. Nothing would have stopped me. And for the longest time, a little bit backstory about myself, my mom was my biggest cheerleader through ballet. Like we couldn't afford ballet classes when we were really young, so she would work in the studio to make sure that I could dance. And she ended up passing away from cancer when I was 15. And so for the longest time, I worked so tirelessly, not only to live out my dream, but her dream as well. And so for me, it was a mix of physicality, like my body can't keep up, I'm getting burnt out, and then that emotional string that I still had to the ballet career was what kept me going. But there gets to a point where the burnout is real, and that can be whether it's in ballet, it could be sports, but then it can also be your career, even in my late 20s. And I've had to learn that no matter how much you love something, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're never going to be happy and you're never going to fulfill it. And so for me, it was just one morning I woke up and I said, I literally can't do this mm-hmm. anymore. And I stopped.
Well, that's an amazing segue to Miranda because she's taking care of people for a living now, right? Yeah. So, Miranda, what was the process of you deciding, I'm going to train for this? I'm going to get an education in skincare.
So, once I was about maybe 15, 16, 17 years old in high school, that's when, you know, you have to make your decision what what your career path will be. Then I was just looking into massage therapy schools, and then I was thinking maybe skincare can also be something I would enjoy and it would fulfill, you know, that part of what I wanted to do from when I was 10. Because I also loved skincare, makeup, you know, all beauty things, you know. Yeah, so I just basically 17 years old and just looking at all the skincare schools, and I wasn't able to, you know, afford all this on my own. So I just chose any school that accepted financial aid because, like you, Adavia, my father passed away when I was 14 years old. So, like, I just had to hustle. Like, I had to, you know, take care of everything myself, you know, for myself, well, my family, when my mom took care of herself. But, yeah. Sorry, I just need a little time out. I'm getting a little emotional.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I just heard your story, and then like this, I guess.
You're brought together today. Not, we didn't know this, but for a reason. Now you know each other. I just want you to know this is a really safe space. Yeah. Like, we're all here for each other, and you were meant to be next to each other today.
Sorry. I never really talk about this in my life, especially like with clients and stuff. I kind of keep that out. So, yeah. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize, and maybe it just really needed to come out.
Yeah.
That's like why we do this. Yeah. This, like, this show is all about humanizing our industry, and none of us are robots.
No.
And sometimes it feels like you need to be one, but you don't. And just coming together, you know, a bunch of people in the room supporting each other this way, this is really, like, what we've been doing for years.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Yay! Okay, I'm going to talk about something completely superficial. Are you ready for this? So, Miranda, celebrity esthetician is in your title, which means celebrities and name dropping, my guess, is an important part of growing your business right now. Tell me what it's like to have clientele this high profile, and, like, what can you and can you not say about your work with them?
It's on my Instagram. They allow me to share that I'm working with them.
What is that conversation like? Let's say I'm super famous and I'm, you know, on your treatment bed. Are you saying, like, may I post about you? Or are they telling you to post? How does that how does that get worked out?
So I never really mention anything about posting. Like, that's not my thing. I don't like that. Because the background I have is in hotel spas. So I was Forbes trained. And it's very strict. When you're working at a five-star hotel spa, you can't even have your phone in the room. Forget about taking pictures and sharing with other people in your network or family, friends. Like, you just don't talk about it. You know, it's just private. People are coming there to get treated and be relaxed. And I just, and I don't want my clients, whether it be a celebrity client or a just a regular person on the street that just wants a facial and sees my advertisement on Instagram, I just don't want to make them feel uncomfortable, so I don't ever ask. They're always, like, the celebrities, they're willing to post and they want to share the word, and I feel like everything that I do is pretty much word of mouth. So if clients want to share, then they will, but if they don't, like, it's never, like, a question that I would ask.
So your treatment cabin is a safe space.
Yeah.
This is not about you advancing your message, using them as a vehicle. They're choosing to tell their story of what it's like to work with you.
Yeah, pretty much, I think. Yeah.
So, Davi, I want to talk about, you know, a little bit more of your past. That's quite interesting. You exited the performance world as a ballet artist, but then moved into the pageant world. Okay, so we're gonna have a lot of fun pageant talk right now. Why, when, how, tell us everything.
So I was in college when I made the transition. Originally I wanted to join a ballet company, got an offer to dance in Orlando, and last minute switched to the University of South Carolina, where I was a dance major for about a year and a half. And then kind of that point where I just really hit zero, I had nothing else to love anymore. And I remembered that I would watch Miss America growing up, and I would look at the talent competition and think, like, I could do that. And I was in the bathroom one day, and freshman year, and a girl came in just like Southern glitz and glams, like hair to the sky. And I was like, where did you come from? She was like, oh, the Miss Gamecock pageant. I was like, oh, that's cool. She told me that the winner gets to go compete at Miss South Carolina, and it's a scholarship competition. And so paying for my own college tuition, I was like, okay, I could use some scholarship. And so the next year, right after I quit ballet, I was like, let's just dive full force into this. And the same tenacity that I put behind my ballet career, which probably wasn't the most healthy thing to do. I should have processed that a little bit later. But I just dove right into pageants, and I really like gave it my all. It became my second identity for a while. And my second year, I ended up winning Miss South Carolina and competing at Miss America and got $50,000 in scholarships. Yes. So I got to pay for my school. And it was the hardest work I've like put in throughout my entire college career. And I'd still thank like so much that I have for my life from that moment.
What was your talent?
I did ballet. I danced ballet to Portugal the Man. Ooh, I'm a rebel just so kicks, yeah. So it was fun.
So Davia, let's fast forward, mm-hmm. right? So you've been on that one stage, then another stage.
Yes.
Now you're in a content stage, mm-hmm. right? It's a digital one. How did you become a creator?
Yeah. So it really did start with being Miss South Carolina. You wake up one day, it's your full-time job, and you're handed a phone and you say, okay, you got to market the organization. Like, how are you going to get girls to join Miss South Carolina? And so I was going to events all year, and a part of my job was to be like the face of the Miss South Carolina organization. So through that, I gain a lot of followers from taking people along for what it's like at Miss America, like what I'm doing throughout my year. And that was the first time that I've ever was able to see like my connection with people on a digital format, because before it was just girls that I met in the ballet studio. And so it gave me not only an outlet to share my story, but also like an outlet to connect with people that I've never met before. Mm-hmm. And that kind of really like kickstarted my love for content.
So this is a lot is happening during college. You're mm-hmm. ending ballet. You're joining the pageant circuit. You winning. Now you're basically an ambassador for the program with a fee attached to it, like it's big, like a job.
Yes.
Right? And building a portfolio for as a content creator. And you have yet to graduate from college.
Yeah. So I had to take a gap year in college to be Miss South Carolina. So it was crazy. So by the time I graduated, I felt like a full mini adult, which is good and bad in some ways. Like it forces you to grow up, and like you don't really get to enjoy a lot of the things that like a normal college student gets to. But I think it set me up for success in my career that I have now.
Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned you didn't release Way to Beat after walking from ballet before diving into pageant. When did you give yourself time to kind of honor that transition?
Yeah. Honestly, this is going to sound very bad, but it wasn't until the past couple of years. After I graduated college, I took on social media content as like a freelance job. So it was super scrappy. And then I was in a relationship, moved to Charleston, and then I ended up on a reality TV show.
Tell us which one in the season.
The Bachelor, season 27. And so I think I had this unhealthy attachment when I was younger to try and find success because I was running away from so much that distracting myself with ballet, then pageants, then The Bachelor just became the only way that I knew how to survive is just to, like, keep going and keep trying. And after The Bachelor was the first time I ever had to sit with myself and say, okay, it's all over. Mm-hmm. Like, what brings me true happiness, and, like, how am I going to move away from that? And so The Bachelor ended up giving me a huge platform to have, like, part of my career now, which is content creation. And through that I found I really enjoy, like, storytelling and being very real and authentic and vulnerable with everything that I'm going through. And it's been such a creative outlet for me to talk about things that I've processed like years down the road, because a lot of that comes to the surface when you keep distracting yourself by like the glitz and glamour of life. And it hit me hard, I would say, like 2 years ago.
You really did a great job of finding the glitz and glamour though.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, like a magnet to it, right?
Yeah.
Miranda, let's talk about the joy in your work, right? You're touching faces, mm-hmm. right? Necks and décolleté all day long. What makes you happy about this?
I feel like it's not just about beauty, but about energy and making people feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it also brings me joy because it's not just like a superficial thing and it's not just in the moment. They feel good even after, mm-hmm. you know, it's more on an energetic level than just a superficial. Yeah.
I think of estheticians as the same way I think of dermatologists, like you're artists, mm-hmm. right, with your hands. Yeah. Maybe a derm is an artist with a needle, yeah. right? You're an artist with your hands. What kind of power does it take to be able to help somebody who might be like very stressed out, not really like in sync with their energies when they lie in your bed? What is that artistry that you use to get them to calm down so that their like best glow can come out?
A lot of times people complain like that their shoulders hurt or they have tension in their jaw. It's sometimes it's not just about like the muscles that are tight. It's more about like the nervous system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you just have to calm them down first, you know, just a calm and soothing approach is mm-hmm. always the best for situations like that. Yeah.
Have you noticed your clients more and more stressed out the past few years?
It just depends on the person, I think. But yeah, too much is no good either. You know, if you're just doing too much for the skin, mm-hmm. you'll break out. And if you do too little, you'll break out too. Mm-hmm. So everything is just balance, I think.
Davia, in your world, have you noticed a kind of a change in the people around you and the people who are your fans on social in terms of energetically their stress?
Yeah, I think like coming through the transition post-COVID where life was really slow for a lot of people, people really reconnected with their family, what grounds them and what roots them. And then since COVID, we've all kind of like taken off as a bullet. The world of social media has opened up so much where people are critiquing others on a level that I haven't seen before. They feel like they have like ownership of people that they've never met before. But then at the same time is we're comparing ourselves to people going like a mile a minute. And the vulnerability that I feel like COVID brought of just being really relatable has been lost, especially within the past year. And so I feel like we're entering in back into a season of comparing ourselves on social media, like really reading into like hate comments or spiteful things, where it takes a lot of energy and self-discipline to pause and think of like yourself first. I mean, there's so many helpful ways, and the wellness industry has really done a great job of making sure that people prioritize like walking, meditation, journaling. But I think a lot of that kind of has been lost within the past year as this suburbia has really like taken off, I would say.
So, Miranda, what is your sort of dream for this business, right? You're touching regular people's faces, celebrity faces every day. You're a one-woman show, right? It's just you in a cabin, right? What's your dream?
My dream would be to create like a really big community of women that take care of themselves in all different ways and to find their power and their strengths. And everyone is so different. So, yeah, I just think that there's just different things that work for different people. I'm feeling so emotional. I don't know why.
Because you're in a really safe space.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't been really, like, in a space like this forever. I really don't even – I think all I do is work. Maybe I feel like I'm just burnt out.
Well, this is, let's talk about that conversation. Okay, this is really real. I want you to know that yesterday I sat in that room and bawled my eyes out. I'm not joking. Yeah. I was on the phone with my CFO and all I could do was like buckets of tears. Yep. Because the work is hard, right? And we're such ambitious people and we have like these strong visions. Like the vision you just told us is not just about having somebody pay for a treatment. Yeah. Like this was a much bigger vision. Yeah. And we surround ourselves with people who are equally ambitious and exciting. Mm-hmm. And like Davia said, like we don't take a pause, right? We have to. If we don't, then then I'm going to sit in there and cry and bawl my eyes out, which also is like so amazing to just
cry. I think it's important, like for myself, like if I feel a certain way, like I let myself feel it, you know, I don't hold back. I'm in my room sometimes and I cry, you know, like, it's normal. Everyone has to feel like all their emotions, because then if you don't, how will you heal yourself or know what's wrong with you? Like, I know why I feel a certain way mm-hmm. at a certain time because I let myself feel everything. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like, I'll do EFT, you know, emotional freedom technique. It's like a tapping.
Have you tried that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's so good. I think it's really amazing.
Do you want to tap right now?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So this is by the cheek. It's like one of a
we're all tapping, by the way.
And it allows like your nervous system to just relax. Yeah, it's really good. You can, and then like the top of your head.
Mm-hmm. And okay, also, so for anyone who's not in the room and just listening, we're all talking.
Like underneath the nose, like by the lips, that's a good point as well. And then underneath on the chin, and then on the collarbone. And you can always like say like affirmations during this time. Mm-hmm. So it's really relaxing.
I am confident. I am calm. I am breathing. I'm with amazing people.
Yeah. And you could just like move like, you know, to all those points, but that always helps me.
Thank you for helping us take care of ourselves.
I got you.
And we got you.
Thank you.
So Davia, what's your fantasy? What's your dream for, you know, dreaming big comes naturally to you.
Yeah.
What's your vision for where this world can take you?
Over the past couple of months, I've like asked myself this question a lot, whether it's in my career, whether it's in like social media and content, which I like truly love to do. But like, I think one of my biggest passions in life is storytelling. I love memoirs. I eat them up so much. Mm-hmm. And I started taking a writing class this year.
Fun.
Just to kind of like push myself to see. And I just like fell in love with the art form. And so my biggest goal in life is to write a memoir. Wow. And so I've started on it. I've gotten some critiques. And so it's going to be a long process, but like that is like my secret hidden goal that I have. And so I've tried to like be really cognizant about the content that I make and make sure it's always coming from like a reflective and like storytelling point of view. Because like if I could leave a legacy, that's what I want it to be.
So are you journaling a lot right now?
I am. I would say I'm not journaling as much as I should be. I feel like, I mean, there's only so much you can do in a day, and that's one thing that slips a lot. But what has been really helpful for me, and it is like very emotionally like healing too, I don't know if that's a word, but like sitting down and trying to think of moments and write out vividly like what it was like to go shopping for my first thong at like 13.
Wait,
but then like how did that make me feel about like why my thong? I don't know. That's like one of the first pieces that I wrote. But like,
wait, was
what
it
did
like
it?
A hanky panky? What was it?
Oh, it was a Victoria's Secret. Oh, okay. It was like lime green with like pink layers. But like visualizing that moment, like what it felt like to be with girls and like not being like as cool as them, and I wanted to think that they're really cool, and like how did that play into like insecurities that I had at the time, and like being able to like rip out so many raw emotions just from like one memory that you have. And it's been really fun to like put myself back in those situations, but it does take a lot of emotional toll when like you bring yourself back to things that you haven't thought about in years.
Are you willing to be vulnerable in the moment now and like put this on Substack and just like keep adding to it?
Yeah, I started putting stuff on Substack. That was like my 2025 goal. There's not much stuff on it. I think I have like 5 pieces, but truly it's been like I said, like we get stuck in like a work heavy culture, and I like have my content job, I have my 9-to-5 job, and this was just like a little piece of like, okay, I'm not making money off of any of this. Like, this is just for me. And it's been like so freeing.
I've been writing a book with a friend for 7 years. No joke.
It's a while.
It's fiction, which I really love reading memoirs. Mm-hmm. That's really my happy place. But she used to work at this company, and we were having dinner one night years ago, and she was telling me about the Michigas happening and like the brand she worked at. I'm like, stop it. This is a story. Like, this is a novel. We can like bring in like a little bit of everything that we've lived through in this industry and have this great, which a story, I will not reveal it because I do think we will eventually finish this.
Yeah.
But it's to carve out the brain power to just like put things on paper is so hard. Mm-hmm. But we hired a writing coach.
Incredible.
Who wrote a famous novel with a partner, which was turned into a movie. And if I told you offline, you'll know who it is.
Yeah.
Because they worked in a pair to write. So we're like, well, we don't know how to write at all. And let's find someone who's written with a friend. So I see this as happening someday. It's a really good idea. I want it to happen. But we stall out a lot. But I've given myself permission to just be okay with it.
I agree. And writing classes are just, like, so incredible. And even, like, having a writing coach, I feel like it's helped me so much. Shout out to Gotham Writers, New York City. So that's where I took my first writing class from. So that's incredible. I want to read your book.
I hope it sees the light of day soon. Maybe we can make, like, if I track back to 10 years of this idea coming into our brains, maybe by then we can publish it. So Miranda, we heard that Davia was on The Bachelor. If you were on a reality TV show, which show would it be? And if you can't answer the question, we will ask you to start.
Probably something outdoorsy. I don't know. Oh, would you say so?
So is this like The Amazing Race? Like,
oh, maybe.
You guys would be a pair.
Yeah, for sure. And I think my personality, that's why I love what I do, calming people down, because I'm so, like, all over the place. That's the one thing that allows me to just be calm. Okay, is my work.
But let's focus on this a second, because your work as an esthetician, you literally have to have steady hands. So what you're describing, you know, zooming all around. So now you're able to be still. Why are you able to be still in that moment when you're working?
I get myself to a place of, like, just stillness. Like, before my clients come, before their appointment, I meditate in my own way. I don't know if I'm doing it correctly, but it is correct, because I'm very calm right before my clients come, because I need to perform. I need to, you know, be calm for them. And they're one of, like, my inspirations is, look, they're booking an appointment to come see me. I need to give them my all, right? I can't be all over the place. I have to be calm and relaxed for them. So, yeah, my everyday life is just all over the place, and my work keeps me grounded.
So Davia had a literal stage, and this is your stage, right? Because I would imagine you have, like, a pre-stage routine, right? What would that routine have been?
I would put my headphones on. I'd probably, like, stretch for about an hour, like, warm myself up at the bar. And then there's something about, like, putting on your makeup in front of a vanity that calms me down so much. Like, even when I do my makeup now, I, like, no music, nothing on, putting on a costume, and then just, like, cracking every bone in your body before going out.
You gotta just Broadway get into lights the around zone. This is the moment.
Oh, I love it. Just sitting with yourself and your thoughts before you go out while you, like, put on makeup.
We're gonna shift gears into, like, that influencer world of brand deals and partnerships. So, Miranda, let's start with you. Like, have you been approached by brands to be, you know, this sort of expert voice, or is that even something that you're interested in?
I wouldn't say I'm the voice of, like, any brand, but I do work a lot with Hydrafacial. I purchased their device back in 2019 when I opened up my little studio. And then they have this annual party, I guess. It's like it used to be on a bus, where they would have a few Hydrafacial machines set up and everyone could just try the Hydrafacial by appointment only. And I just, like, signed up to be an esthetician for that, just so I could get exposure, because I was a solo esti, so I just wanted to, you know, meet everybody that I can meet in the industry. And I did that for free just to get exposure with the brand. And then from then on, I just was always in contact with my rep, and always asking her, like, what's the next event or party or something, just to kind of be in the in, you know, get to know everybody. And then when Hydrafacial became public, they opened a training center. It was, like, around the same time. So they opened the training center in Manhattan, in Flatiron, not too far from here. My rep asked me, like, if I can go and help them out with, you know, treatments and all that. So for potential investors and also influencers. And I said, yeah, that's fine. Like, I had just, like, signed my contract with another space in the Upper East Side that I was opening. During COVID, I was in Staten Island for a little bit, my business, and then I moved to the city, back to the Upper East Side. So I was like, no, I just signed my lease. Like, I can't work for you guys. Like, I have my machine still and all that. And she's like, no, just a few days just to help us out. So in that sense, yeah, I worked with them, and then whatever press they had, they would send me after I left there. So yeah, that's kind of like the only thing that I really have with a brand. But other than that, no, I have accounts with other brands that I choose to work with, mm-hmm. with like Biologique Recherche, Epicutis, Ourself Skincare. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Davia,
you beauty too.
Tell me about your philosophy about partnerships.
Yeah. So I remember when I got my first ever brand deal, I was in Charleston. It was like before The Bachelor, and I got paid like $400 to use like a shampoo and conditioner that did not work. And I was like, yeah, this is the best day ever. But I would say like as time comes, like there's so many brand deals. What I've learned is like take what you will actually use and what aligns with like how you want to show up as like a personal brand. And then B, what I've learned this year is you kind of have to stand up for yourself a little bit more. Like today I got a brand deal from hair care brand, and it was a lot lower than my typical rates, but knowing how to fight for yourself in this industry, knowing like what it means to negotiate usage rates, mm-hmm. like how much money should they be paying you to use your video as ads, and having like a little bit of grit in the game of the contract has been really, really helpful. And not only did I get to learn that just being a content creator, but now I also work on both ends of the influencer spectrum. And so I think being able to say no to things that doesn't fit your caliber of like how you see your own worth and then what you know your audience will relate to as well has been really helpful.
Let's stay here for a minute because Kelsey and I were talking during mm-hmm. the break about the skill of defending your work.
Yeah.
And defending the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking and she's like, can we do like a workshop on that?
Yeah.
Because it's a skill. So can you just give us some like high points of what you've learned about how to approach this so that you feel really good about whatever the interaction is and you know that you've like kept your side of the street clean and steady mm-hmm. and really supported yourself through the process.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like as women, imposter syndrome is something that runs so deeply through us. And whether that's through like defending my work as like content or defending my work just in my career, having women who have like paved the way for me and to have like really frank and honest conversations with them gave me a lot of grit to stand up for myself. I used to be like such a people pleaser. And so like if someone wanted to lowball me on a content deal and I would do like 10 times the work for them, I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's so okay. But the moment I talk to another female creator, they're like, no, like, why are you taking that? And the same with my work, whether it's like asking for a salary raise or like negotiating a contract before going into a business. Like I feel like as women, like we would be nowhere without the women in front of us. And so like that's why networking and having like really transparent conversations of like what work is worth something can really help like as women to get over that hurdle of like defending what your cost is. And I know for me, I like would not have been in that place if I didn't have those conversations with other people.
In your space, Miranda, right, there's a fee for your work. Do you find that you're in a position where you have to defend your price anymore, or has that gotten easier?
Yeah, no, that has definitely gotten easier.
Yes, but
sure. But there was a point where, I felt like I had to kind of like prove myself or like explain myself. But now it's totally different. Thank you. Thank God. You know, all the hard work, you know. Also coming from like a hotel spa background, that kind of gives me like credibility too. And people are like, okay, she comes from this, so her work must be good. So I even like for new people that don't know me or don't see me on Instagram, if they just Google me, I have like a article of me in 2013, and people still find me that way. You know what I mean?
So an article that's over 10 years old isn't still an incredible referral source for you?
Because it talks about my treatment at Balmont Spa for Plaza Athenae Hotel. So it still brings in clients. It's pretty insane.
Wow. That's incredible.
So just be careful what you put out there sometimes.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Right? So we're going to transition to the last part of our show now. This is our game. This is fun. There's no right or wrong. It's called Beauty, Truth, or Trend. We're going to give you some skincare and makeup trends, and you're going to tell me if it's a truth or a trend, meaning like, is this legit? Mm-hmm. Should we even play here? So Miranda, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Skin cycling is just rebranding with dermatologists have said for years. Is this truth or trend?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because there has to be balance. You can't just use retinols every day.
We're going to move to the next one. So this one's for you. Double cleansing is a must for everyone. Is this truth or trend?
I love a double cleanse. Yeah. I think it's a truth, but I'm also not a dermatologist. But I think like having a good oil-based cleanser and then a real cleanser just gets all the like ick and grime off.
Yeah. Okay, so what would our SD say to that?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Miranda, which hazel is a great everyday toner? Is this truth or trend?
Oh no, that's a trend.
Yeah, can you tell me why?
That's just too harsh because we have fresheners, toners, and astringent. It's an astringent, so that's too harsh.
Okay.
It's too much alcohol.
Okay, let's try this one, Davia. You can train your hair to be less oily. Is this truth or a trend?
No, because I would have done it if it was true. I think that's a trend.
But I want to say something. I am 50 in this crazy perimenopause situation. Yeah. And sometimes, like, I can't even go, like one full day of a fresh wash and not be super greasy.
Same.
Yeah. And I used to be able to get, like, day three, I would be like gross, right? And like dry shampoo. But like sometimes it's just day one, I'm like, I can't deal with the world, right? So I think the hormones are just going crazy with the oil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I let my hair air dry, it's so oily. So for the past, I'd learned this in pageants because they would always do my hair and be like, you need to grit your hair up somehow. Mm-hmm. So I immediately wash, blow dry my hair, and then put dry shampoo in it. Every single time.
Let's have more fun. Let's do it. Miranda, slugging is good for all skin types. Is this truth or trend?
Trend.
Tell me why.
It's some people are just too oily or acne prone. Mm-hmm. It'll just break them out more.
Okay. Last one. Ready? Yeah. So face yoga can replace Botox. Tell us, is this truth or trend?
I'm a fan of both. I think there is something to like facial sculpting that can help lymphatic drainage, but I don't think that's like an anti-gravity solution. So I think it doesn't help to have a little bit of both.
What would our experts say?
I think that Botox greases the muscle. So, and you said gua sha, that moves the lymphatic system. So, I mean, I would say both are great, but I would say before you do your Botox, definitely get a really good facial massage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just holds better, I think.
Well, this has been such a fun show. Yeah. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.